Good morning. One more thing I would like to just highlight with Together Groups. If you have been involved with a Together Group in the previous year, please fill out that form and drop that at the table. We're going to be keeping track and getting organized for this year. So don't just assume that you're carried over. Please fill that out for us just so we have a record that you are interested in participating this year. One of my favorite speakers, apologists, preachers, Ravi Zacharias, tells about his trip to Vietnam in 1971 as he spoke at several places there, and he had a translator whose name was Hien Pham. And as they traveled around, they became close. They had a good friendship going. Him was a believer, was excited to share the gospel, was excited to translate as Ravi spoke. Shortly after that, after Ravi left, the United States pulled out troops from Vietnam, and the Vietnamese government came in and started cracking down on believers, and especially those who had helped the Americans. And Hien Pham found himself in prison. He was fed literature about the glories of Marxism, about the absence of God. And after months of this, his faith began to falter. He began to question his faith. And he got to a point one day where he said, I'm not going to pray anymore. God, if you're really there, you're going to have to show me, because tomorrow is going to be the last day. I am not going to pray after that. The next day, Hien Pham was put on latrine duty. He was put on duty of cleaning out the waste paper, the toilet paper that people had used. And so he took this basket and started emptying it into the sack that he was to empty it into, this paper that was covered with feces and was covered with filth and stink. He noticed that there was a paper that was different than the others. There was some writing on it, and he was curious, and he looked a little closer, and he saw that it was in English, and he hadn't read English for a long time, and so he reached in, and he took that piece of paper, and he saw that on the side it said Romans 8. Well, he cleaned that off, and he began to look at it, looking around, making sure no one saw him, and he tucked that into his pocket. When he got back that night, he laid underneath his mosquito netting in his bunk in that prison, and by light he read these words: "There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." The next day, he had latrine duty again, and so he watched very carefully, and he found another piece that had been used as toilet paper, which he cleaned off and took home as a treasure. He even asked if he could have latrine duty for the next couple of months in hopes that would continue, and found out that someone was using the Bible as toilet paper. For them, it was a waste product. For him, it was life. And he slowly built up his collection of toilet paper in the form of the book of Romans. You know, I was thinking, do we really value the Word of God that much? Do we really put an emphasis? Do we really hold on to it? I mean, it seems like if we drop a corn dog at the state fair anywhere near the horse barns, we're like, ugh, nope, I can't eat. Well, I paid $7 for that corn dog. So maybe I'll pick it up and brush it off, and maybe that'll be an okay thing. But would we pick up a piece of Scripture, the Word of God, that had been used as toilet paper, and would we value it as much as our brother in Christ did? Here's the thing. We've been looking forward to our history, celebrating our history, 150 years of God's faithfulness at First Free. That's why we're taking these steps, walking through 2 Timothy, to see those things that God's Word points us to. And one of the great legacies of this church, one of the great attributes of this church, is an emphasis on the Word of God. An emphasis on why this church was established. To take the Word of God into our homes and into our community. Many missionaries, many ministry leaders have been sent out from this church holding forth the Word of God. They valued the Word. They lived their life by it. We emphasize that the Bible is the authority, the final authority for basing and understanding our life and how to live it. And when we're faced with questions and decisions to make, we go back to that clarion call. Where stands it written? Do we? I hope we do. You know, I myself find it hard sometimes to read the Bible. There's things that I don't understand very well. There's times when my schedule, the things that I have going on in my life, kind of crowd out that time for spending time in the Scripture. I think, well, maybe I don't have enough time to really dedicate to it in a way that really needs it. And so I just let other things take over my time. There's times when crises hit in my life, and I go, I think I can figure this out on my own. I don't even stop to consider what God may think about it. I don't go to the Word. I don't go and ask that question, where stands it written? You know, at the heart of it is my priorities, and honestly, there's times where my heart is fickle. My heart goes after things that I like rather than the things of God. But I think we see in our text this morning that God's Word is not limited to our engagement of it. That God's Word itself carries power with it. That God's Word is meant to be shared. And that God's Word is trustworthy because it reveals Him to us. So maybe you're here this morning, the Bible's hard to understand. You struggle with reading it. You're not really sure how to start it. You're not sure how to engage it. Or maybe your schedule doesn't allow you, because of the way that life goes, to spend deep times in the Bible or spend any time. Maybe your priorities are different. Maybe you're reliant on yourself. You're an independent person. You can do this on your own. Maybe you've never opened the Bible before. Maybe you're coming from a different church tradition where you don't open the Bible on a regular basis. Maybe you're coming from a different faith background. Maybe you've never opened the Bible and you've been here in this church, but you've waited for the person up on this platform or the teacher in the Sunday school class to tell you what it is. This morning, I hope that I can encourage you to open the Word of God, to apply it to your life, and then to proclaim it where you go. Would you join me as we begin this in prayer? Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it reveals you. We are after you. We want to see you. And so, as we open up the Word at this time, would you help us to see you as you are, to listen to your Spirit, and to have our hearts impacted and our minds changed, and that you would bring us into line with who you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I encourage you to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 13, as Tom read earlier. I want you to know that Paul's writing this letter. He's writing it from prison. He's been arrested in Jerusalem for speaking the Word of God, for speaking the gospel about Jesus. He's probably in Rome under house arrest, and he's sensing that this is the end of his life. He's run the race. He's finished his task. He's being poured out like a drink offering. And so he's telling Timothy the things that are most important. Timothy, if you're going to be a good pastor, if you're going to be a good disciple maker, these are the things that you need to hold on to. So this is Paul's last letter to Timothy. And the first thing that I think we see in this passage in 2 Timothy 2 is that the Word of God is given to be shared. The Word of God is given to be shared. Look at verses 8 to 10 with me, if you would. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the Word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul received the gospel for himself. He had received this, and he says that this is to be passed on. In fact, right now, as Paul's writing this, he is bound in chains as a criminal. So Paul could have stopped sharing the gospel, could have stopped sharing the word, had done what the people, the officials, the religious leaders had wanted him to do, and stopped preaching the gospel, and he would not have been in chains. He would not have been suffering. But Paul is suffering. And why does he suffer? Well, verse 10 tells us it's for the sake of the elect, so that they may obtain salvation. So who are the elect? Well, the elect are those who are chosen, those who are saved by God, those who have received eternal life in Christ, or those who will receive eternal life in Christ. And I think that's who Paul's talking about here. That he continues to speak the gospel, he continues to preach the gospel for the sake of those who could hear it and come to new life in him. I think that's what his thinking is. I've been given mercy and new life through Jesus. I've been given the gospel to give me that new life and to show and to share to others so that they can become followers of Jesus. They can become my brothers and sisters. I know that the gospel in my life wasn't a result of my good works, but it was a result of the Word of God at work in my life. And it's going to be the result of the work of God in their lives. And so, even if I suffer, I'm going to proclaim the Word of God for their sake. When I suffer loss for that, it's for their gain. Paul had an other-centered view of his suffering. His suffering says, I will endure whatever it takes so that the gospel goes forward, so that the Word of God goes out, so that other people can receive that, so that other people's lives can be changed by it. Do we have that perspective? As we read the Word, do we think, this is for me, but it's also for those people that I'm going to run into today? This is for me, but it's also for those who will hear the good news because I'm going to share it. Or do we just look at it and we say, well, this is for me today. This is my time. You know, we hear great stories about those who take the scriptures into closed countries, those who take the scriptures into Islamic countries or countries like North Korea, where there's a closed off, there's no portal for the gospel to go in normal means. And we look at that and we say, that is tremendous. Those are brave people. And I agree. That is great. That is wonderful. And we continue to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, those who struggle to even get a page of Scripture. But as I look around, I think around our area, we have thousands of people who will not open up the Bible this year. And our assumption is that they live in America, they live in a Midwest town. Sure, they have a Bible. We assume they have a Bible. And we assume that they open it if they do. Or we assume that they have heard about Jesus. Well, sure, they've heard about Jesus. And they've already made up their decision. So I don't really need to talk about that. I don't want to stir the waters. I don't want to be uncomfortable. We have thousands who have not heard the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus, right here in our town. We assume that people here know what the Bible says, that they catch it from culture, they catch it from just living around people like us. We assume that they know how to take those things and apply them to their lives. But I can tell you myself, there's things that I'm in the Word every day, and there's things that I struggle to understand. I need help. I need you to come alongside of me and share with me the word. Share what the Spirit's opening up in your mind, in your study, so that I can understand. And I struggle every day to apply the word to my life. How does this work in this situation? How do I deal with this thing that's come up in my life? Brothers and sisters, we can celebrate our brothers and sisters who are taking the gospel, taking the word of God into closed countries, but right here in our town, people need to hear the word of God. It is given to us to be shared. We live in a pretty free society. As you start to look around our culture and some of the changes that are happening in our culture, I don't think I would be too far off to say chains may be coming soon. There may be times coming very soon where we are restricted in how we can share the good news. And so we should be going out now, sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, sharing the word of God in our lives, in our conversations, as we can, in hopes that God will take that word and cause it to grow. And that brings us to our second point, and that's that the word of God is powerful in itself. So Paul is in chains. He's restricted to an area, a specific place. But look what he says in verse 9. He says, but the word of God is not bound. The NIV, as Tom read, the word of God is not chained. So although Paul is bound and he's in chains under his arrest, he says, but the word of God is not. So what's happening? People are coming to visit Paul in his house, and he's proclaiming the word to them. He's sharing the word to them, and then they're going out to other places. He's receiving news of other disciple-making friends around the world who are proclaiming the word. Just simply because Paul is limited to one spot doesn't mean that the word of God is limited to that spot. Just because we come together on a Sunday morning at this location doesn't mean the word of God is chained, is bound to this location. Paul knows that there are churches out there that he has founded or that he's visited, and he hears reports of them personalizing and proclaiming the gospel. He knows that there are people who are just simply letting the word of God work through their lives. People like Tabitha, who lived a life of service, who took care of the needs of the people around her in her community. Paul knows that the word of God is not chained simply because he is. You know, we should understand that when we apply the word of God, when we speak it, we give the Holy Spirit opportunity in other people's lives to do work. Jesus gave us a parable that kind of describes this. Let me read that to you. It's from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. He says this, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The kingdom of God is not restricted to just simply our efforts. If that farmer were to go out, sow his seed, and then have to go to every single seed and say just the right words in just the right way at just the right time in order to get it to sprout, and then return later to get it to start to grow, and then return later to start producing fruit. I think that a lot of times that's how we think. As we scatter seeds, scatter the word of God in our conversations, as we scatter the word of God, as we share the gospel in different circumstances, we think that we've got to say just the right words. We've got to, if we say this phrase and then this phrase, that turns the key. But we don't produce the growth. It's the Holy Spirit of God who produces the growth as we scatter the seed. So Paul is recognizing that the word is not bound, but the word is active. The kingdom is not constrained to just our efforts. It's not up to us. Let me tell you, that is incredibly freeing. It's incredibly freeing to know that I don't have to just get every phrase exactly right. What I need to do is I need to put the Word of God in front of people. I need to speak the Word of God in my conversations. I need to give hope to those who are lost, who are looking for a Savior. Those who are going through crisis, I bring the Word of God and comfort. But I release the Word of God so that the Spirit can do the work. I'll give you an example. This last week, I had to go to the dentist. It's always a great thing to go to the dentist. The dentist tells me. But we were just talking with some people there at the dentist office, just talking about kids, talking about different stages in life, talking about the busyness of schedules, talking about future plans, and God pressed a verse on me. And it just rolled out. It's not because I was a pastor. It's not because I was, seeking conversion. I hope that that's part of my heart, my heartbeat always. But God just put a verse in my mind, and I shared it with the people there at the dentist's office as we were talking. I don't know if that is going to make a huge difference, but that's not my responsibility. I was faithful in sharing the Word of God, and I've been praying that God would do something with that Word. Simply thinking that way, that it's not about a big program, it's not about something huge that we've got to do or just have to get right, but just in our conversations to be able to share the Word of God. Here's the problem. I think sometimes we instead of thinking, well, I'm not chained but the Word of God, or I'm chained but the Word of God is not, I think we take chains and we put it around the Word of God. And we say things like, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I schedule my life in such a way that I can't really spend time with Him, so I don't really have anything to share, because I've got to get to this place and this place and this place and this place. Or sometimes we fear how other people are going to respond. So we put chains on the Word. Maybe God brings to mind a scripture, or maybe God brings to mind something that we have read or something that we have heard, and we say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be good for them. I don't know if they're going to get angry with me. Sometimes we put chains on the Word of God by our traditions. We say, but we have to do things this way because that worked. It worked for 20 years ago. And so it should still work today. And we put chains around the message of God in favor of the method. Or maybe we flip it around the other way. And we say, we set aside the message of God and we say, well, that tradition doesn't work anymore. That tradition. And so we argue about ways that we can make things new, things we can make things exciting. And we set aside the message to debate and argue about all these other things. At the heart, we're given the Word to share it, and that Word is powerful in itself. As I said before, sometimes we chain the Word by thinking it just, this is the place where we talk about it. And guess what? I'm going to be back in a couple days, and we'll talk about it here again. Rather, we should be taking it, turning the Word of God loose so that the Spirit has something to work on in people's lives. Finally, the Word of God is trustworthy because of its source. The Word of God is trustworthy because of its source. Went too far. There we go. Because you're all keeping notes. Look at verses 11 to 13. Paul says, this saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We have a Word that is given to us to share. That Word has power, and that Word is trustworthy because Paul is telling Timothy, God is the source. God is the central focus. God is the one who is being revealed by the Word. It's Him who is trustworthy. So Paul lays out a couple things here in the first two verses. If we've died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. Paul is reminding Timothy that when God says something, it holds true, not because God's a really good storyteller, but because God himself is true, God himself is trustworthy. God has said that even though we are sinners, that we're enemies of God, that the promise of eternal life is secured in Christ. God has told us that this is salvation from his wrath. Jesus told us to die to ourselves and stop trying to earn God's favor, receiving Jesus' death alone as atonement for our sins. God keeps his promises, and he delivers those who he has saved from death to life in Christ. And then he goes on, he says, if we endure. Now, this isn't stirring up endurance in yourself. This isn't based on your success, but rather it's a sign of God's faithfulness to you. It's a picture of, it's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in you. And so Paul is saying in these first two that God is faithful to be a blessing, to give life, to give salvation. His word has gone out, and it is powerful because he is true. He is trustworthy. But then he goes on and he says God's word is also trustworthy, and God is true on the other side. If we deny him, he will also deny us. This isn't a condemnation of a one-time failing to share about something. It's not even a time dealing with times of doubt. But this is a warning that those who continue to deny Christ, those who continue to set him aside, those who continue to refuse to acknowledge him, they will face wrath of God for their sins. God won't be mocked. He won't be diminished. And he won't give up his rightful place. His word is trustworthy because of who he is. It goes on and says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That is, again, the trustworthiness of God's word is rooted in who he is. He cannot deny himself. In other words, he cannot become what we decide he is or he is not. He will be who he is. And because of that, because the word is not simply a set of rules or guidelines to life or a love letter, certainly it's all of those things, yes, but it is the revelation to us of who God is and that God is true. Therefore, if we are faithless, he will be faithful to his word. And his word tells us that those who are faithless will get exactly what they want. Eternity apart from him and all that comes with it. So if God's word is meant to be shared, if God's word is powerful in itself, if God's word is trustworthy because it reveals who he is, how does that look for us? What do we do with that? Because you can nod and say, okay, I think I agree with that. But how does this apply in our lives? So I've just thought about a few areas where we could apply this to our lives and maybe some ways that we can think through this. So how do we apply this to our own lives? How do we unchain the word of God in our own lives? Well, one, if you don't already have a time, start spending some time daily in the word. Open up the word of God every day, multiple times a day. Select a word or a phrase from your daily reading to meditate on, to think about throughout the day. Look for opportunities in the day where God is at work developing that in you. By the way, if you pick a word like patience, shame on you. Well, maybe not shame on you. That's a good word. But understand, the way you develop patience is you're put in situations where you need patience. So be careful which word you pick out. But think about, as you open up the word, is that a word that God can use in my life today? Look for opportunities throughout the day where he's at work developing that in you. Listen to friends who share the word with you. Make sure that you have people around you who are sharing the word with you. How does this look as we unchain the word of God in our families? Maybe it means that we develop a family Bible time. If you don't already have a time where you sit down and read scripture together, maybe that's something that you want to add to your family life. Maybe it could be around a mealtime. It could be first thing before the family departs in the morning, or maybe as you gather together at night. Talk about what's going on in life with the word in view. So do talk about things that are going on in your family and things that are going on around you, but do that with the word in mind. Encourage, if you have kids, encourage your kids to read and to share what they are learning. Build friendships with other families and include the word with that. Share with each other about what God is teaching you. Don't just make it chained inside of you. Let it out. Because that word that maybe God spoke to you was powerful, but it may be even more powerful in the lives of your children or in the life of your spouse. How does this look as we unchain the word in our schools? Here's some ideas. Prepare for every day by spending some time getting God's perspective on who you are, not simply what other people say about you. As you're going through your day, season your conversations with biblical truth. Be ready to be able just to talk about those things. Share a word for the day that you're thinking about with another believer. You can do that over text, or you can do that in the hallways. Read the Bible on your phone app during lunch, or when you've got some study hall, and you can use your phone. You can start a reading plan with somebody. There's a Bible app, YouVersion Bible app, has a lot of Bible reading plans. Do that when you get together at school to say, hey, this is what I read, this is what I saw and what we read today, and do it together. See you at the polls coming up, or take your Bible to school day. You know, speaking of being chained and the forecast for the future, Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, just recorded a little blurb for Take Your Bible to School Day and was vilified in the press for all sorts of things that had nothing to do with what he did. And it's another sign that, you know, while we can, let's proclaim the word. How does it look as we unchain the word in our workplaces? Read your Bible on your phone while you're at break. Share with others what you're learning or something that you've read. Look for opportunities to speak biblical truth to those who are in crisis, to those who need to hear a word from the Lord. If you're looking for it, God will bring those people across your paths. How does this look as we unchain the word and the activities, hobbies, the events, the things that we're involved with? Well, first we can schedule our activities at a pace that doesn't squeeze out time in the word. We set our priorities to say, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm going to say no to some things because I know that my spiritual life needs help. I know that my spiritual life controls all of those things in the rest of my life. And so I'm going to pay attention to, I'm going to nourish that so that all the other things are good. When you're alone doing an activity, doing a hobby, put on an audio version of the Bible on in the background. When you're with others, share with them what God's teaching you, and especially as it relates to what you're doing. Invite somebody to ride with you to a game or an event so that you can sow seeds of hope to them. How does this look as we unchain the Word of God in our social media? You can use your platform to share the Word of God. It has power. I don't know how many times that I've been scrolling through my Instagram feed and I have seen how someone had placed a verse on there. I have no idea who they are. But they have placed that verse there and God worked through that verse in my heart that day. Proclaim the word of God on social media. It has power. Don't pass on things that aren't true or that sound good but aren't biblically correct. Especially if you're told that if you don't pass this on in the next 10 minutes, God's going to be upset with you. If you get one of those, please don't pass it on to me. I don't want it. Before you pass something on, ask yourself, does this actually fit with the Word of God? Or does it just sound good? Does it sound Christian-y? You can share with others online what you're reading, or you can start an online Bible study together. How does this look as we unchain the Word of God in our neighborhoods? We get to know our neighbors, and we look for opportunities to share the good news with them, to share the Word of God as we're talking about what's happening around us. If you're able, That's a gifting of yours. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. Make your home a place where the neighbors love to be, a place where that you can serve them. And as you're serving your neighbors, living out the word, if they ask, tell them, well, I'm serving you because one has come, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So these are just a couple of ideas of how we can unchain the word in our daily lives. So it's just part of who we are. See, as we receive the Word of God into our lives and live it out with the Spirit's help, we will grow a deeper faith, our families will grow stronger in the Lord, and our church family's impact for the kingdom will grow. And then when trials come, we'll be better prepared to both stand firm in the faith and offer hope to those who are facing judgment for their sin without Christ. And should chains come and restrict us from proclaiming the Word directly to those people, we will trust that the seeds that we have planted, others will water, and the Spirit will cause to grow. Most important, in all of this, as we proclaim the Word, people see Jesus. They don't see Christianity. They don't see our opinions. They don't see our projects. They don't see our programs. They see Jesus. He is worthy of them seeing the unbound Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word today. Thank you that it causes us to worship you. It causes us to worship Jesus, to have new life in him. We ask, Father, that you would use us. First of all, teach us the Word through your Spirit. Unleash it in our lives. And then help us to share it in conversations throughout our days. Help us to encourage each other in the Word. Help us to proclaim the gospel to those who are lost. And help us to trust you as you unleash that powerful Word in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Word. It's in the name of Jesus, the unbound Word of God, we pray. Amen.